And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
Your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU default studios of freedomsfoenix.com. But we got to check to see if Dr. Frank's on time. Dr. Frank, I got you there, Dr. Frank.
I'm here.
Good morning, my Dennis. God. He's on time. You know, he gave us 30 whole seconds. I saw him come up there on the Zoom. That was good. So I guess you're on time, but you're not in studio, which I'd rather you be, you know, a little bit late and be in studio. So
you admit it.
No. I can't hug on you, man. All right. So there is a lot of things. I got the Dan Dix video going up. I've been watching. It was at Red Pill, you know, this last weekend, and a lot of this conversation and go on. And they're still kind of whistling past a graveyard, thinking they can still use some of these platforms. And I'm going, man, you guys, I don't think you guys see what's coming. So what? And they do. They just don't have an alternative. They're not techie. They don't know, you know. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And tomorrow we have Roger Ver on. He's going to hip us with a lot of stuff because there's a lot of stuff to be helped with. Now, tell the people what you were concerned about in 40. I haven't watched it yet, but you know, Josh Segerson and John Sneezin and a lot of the other guys there that we spent a lot of time talking about this because YouTube is crunching down. I got a YouTube email explaining that they have new terms of something go look at, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's going to say we rule you, and you don't get to do what we don't want you to do. But Dan Dix went through and did an evaluation of the new terms. Did you watch it?
Not his, but I've been following this. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so what's the bottom line? What are they going to do?
The bottom line is turn to Freedom's Phoenix. That's pretty much what's going to happen.
Boom!
No, I'm really serious. You know, before we get into it, you know, Ernie, this has been your moment in a way, not to throw smoke at you, but I mean, the crunch down, we always knew when it happened, it would be slow at first, and then it just kind of like a python goes. And that's sort of what we're finding now, exactly 1 year before the election. Isn't that timely? It's just kind of what we thought. So 1 year. And many things we'll talk about today. I mean, it's hitting from all sides. I mean, the so-called whistleblower's name, that the name that shall not be uttered, and all the platforms taking that off and down, and the censorship level, and journalism going along with it. I mean, the hypocrisy, the censorship's hitting from all sides. And then at the same time, I mean, you can't keep track of all of this. Then YouTube comes out with their new terms of service, which is what you're referring to. So in essence, this is something that will not take effect until sometime in December. So, you know, which, you know, is basically now it's going to happen. It's also something that's not going to affect probably the main content providers, creators, because, you know, you basically don't want to prune the really big channels first to scare all the watchers, viewers, and channel subscribers. So they're going to start off with the small seedlings first to start pruning this tree. Now, some of this is censorship. I mean, definitely censorship. But, and I have to be honest, some of it also could simply be a business decision. I mean, you know, Google and YouTube, I mean.
Oh, hell, censorship is always a business decision.
Well, yeah. No. I completely get it. And it's all wrapped up together. I mean, all of us have said for years, how could, I mean, we understand how much data video takes up, and people sitting there putting videos of their cat videos and whatever they had for lunch and on and on. And you add in the fact that podcasts, YouTube did not expect podcasts to become as popular as they are now, basically like radio shows. And they don't like that because people turn them on and then don't watch the screen. They just listen to it. I mean, I know I do. I'll sit there and play video pinball and I'll listen to all the different podcasts. So I get two birds with one stone.
Well, a lot of times when you do that, if I'm not, somehow there's some settings that if I'm not on the screen or I go to another one, it stops playing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, of course.
What is that?
If you get YouTube Prime, then you're allowed to have it run the background. Now Apple had a setting where you could do that anyway, and there's been YouTube clones. One was called it was called ViewTube, and it was an app that basically got around that issue. But YouTube keeps cracking down, and obviously now they're trying to make it that you pay money in order to run it in the background. Or if you're not going to pay them, then you have to somehow just keep watching it. Well, anyway, they don't like the fact all these videos are coming out that are audio, because although it's audio, it takes a video bandwidth, and everyone thinks now that they're a YouTube star. And so in all fairness, you know, the amount of data that they're putting in, they're always going to be losing money. But the thing is that they're doing what Amazon and Walmart and other large companies have done. You sit there, you undercut the competition for many years, drive everybody out, and when there is no competition, then you control the market and you decide what you're going to do. And that's pretty much what this new terms of service you're mentioning is setting up. They've already been pruning everything by saying what you can't say, you can't do this, you can't do that, and changing search algorithms and desubscribing people. Many people, I don't know if you know, but a lot of people, you have subscriptions to certain channels, they are randomly cutting out, let's say every few months, 10% of a channel's subscription base, just randomly, not all of them, but maybe 10%.
Doesn't matter.
I hope that you don't notice.
It's the funding thing. I was talking to Josh Segerson quite a bit this weekend. Him and John Sneason and Tim Pachote do World Alternative Media, and they were making bank back in the day. It's got, and all of a sudden, it was exactly a year ago. It was Josh, it was the Wednesday before Christmas. They stopped by, stayed overnight to catch a flight to Canada at Sky Harbor or whatever, and got to say, yo, what's up? And I remember he had just broken 100,000 subscribers. Now he's up to like 130-something, but they keep adding more. They keep taking some off. They keep, you know, limiting access. They ban this. They shadow that. And all of a sudden their traffic is down 90%. Their revenue is down 90%. They are, you know, and it's just enough that they got enough for them to try and get them to change their programming to comply. Now, if you want to get this back again, well, then you got to stop talking about this. You can't mention that. Then what's the point? And he he's just scrambling. Now, Josh, you know, is a talented, you know, really passionate young man, but he's only 24. You know, I mean, he hasn't gone through these cycles before because they can. You can't satisfy them enough. You are already identified as a dissident. You are never, ever, 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 ever going to please these guys enough to get back where you were on that platform. It is not going to happen. It's not. So stop trying. And what happens is they get all the stuff. Well, I can't do that. I got to do that. I got to go. Do you even hear yourself talking? You are conforming to and them using exactly the tools to get you to do it. I go, stop. Find something else. Get some donations. Do something. Well, but I got and I had and I used to and back in the stout. I go, what are you, 80? You know? You go, oh, back for the olden days when we used to. No, them days is gone. Okay? There is something else has to come. This is, and Dan Dix is in the same situation, but he's not making any illusions that he's ever going to, you know, get past these guys. But he's on YouTube criticizing YouTube's new terms of service. Right. That get a lot of hits, does it? Let me see. Oh, it's over 8,000 views. All right.
So when we come back, let's get into what the new YouTube terms are really getting down to. It's the next evolution in the de-evolution of YouTube when we come back.
Why do we care? Can't we talk about going somewhere else? I don't know. We'll talk about that when we come back. Dr. Frank Danbury, just a little bit.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play some Man, you're making a lot of noise, Holmes.
We're back. There we go.
Okay, let me see what he has to say.
YouTube is updating its terms of service once again, and it's not looking good for content creators such as myself here at Press for Truth. The overly vague term, not commercially viable, can be interpreted in many ways, and we're going to break that down for you today. But there's an even more drastic change in the wording of their terms of service that must not go unnoticed. In the previous terms update, under terminations by YouTube for service changes, it reads, YouTube may terminate your access or your Google account's access to all or part of the service if YouTube reasonably believes that its provisions of the service to you is no longer commercially viable. And now, effective December 10th, 2019, it reads, YouTube may terminate your access or your Google account's access to all or part of the services if YouTube believes in its sole discretion that provision of the service to you is no longer commercially viable. So the change is from if YouTube reasonably believes to if YouTube believes in its sole discretion, making them the gatekeepers of political thought and public opinion. So in this video, we're going to explain what this may potentially mean for content creators such as myself. We'll also explain why this is happening, how they're going to do it, but most importantly, what you as an individual can do about it. But just before we do, I would ask that you please click the link right here on the screen or the one located in the description below to find out how you can support this channel. It's taken me over 13 years to build this channel to what it is today. And in that time, I've produced 5 documentary films and over 1,500 video reports. I've dedicated my life's work to this cause, and now they're threatening to take it all away. But with your support, that won't matter. I'm getting my ducks in a line here to prepare for the inevitable, and I do have a plan. But it's going to require continued support from you, the viewers. So today I'm asking that you please consider donating to Press for Truth to help ensure our survival during this transitional phase as they go from YouTube to ThemTube. The best place to do that is at pressfortruth.ca/donate. Here you'll see options for PayPal, cryptocurrencies, Patreon, the Patreon alternative, or if you click on this banner here at the very bottom, you'll find this GoFundMe page, PFT demonetized. If I had a dollar for every subscriber, we can make the MSM obsolete.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
LRN.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, I'm going to continue. In the break, I was playing a little bit of YouTube is dead. New terms of power and Dan Dix, and he's going, look, that it's obvious that this is not going to work. So we're going to have to do some, you know, fundraising, separate, do our own thing, whatever kind of. Well, what did we do? We scraped all of the YouTube of Dan Dix Press for Truth videos to put them on IPFS so that they're there. They're not going to go away, you know, for
now. Oh, great.
You know, so that we got that taken care of. But to serve them and to make revenue from them and for him to get, you know, donations or pay bills and so on, that's not what we're about. That's not my problem. My problem is the information getting, we have a platform for and a way of. So now these guys are going, we got to do something else. Yeah, you're right. So, we do.
So the main thing, and he did hit kind of the main key. There's two clauses or two areas in there. One is that they basically reserve the right to basically deny you service for anything. I mean, that's kind of in the subtext is what there was one of the that's probably the most alarming. But how they're going to do it is the first clause, which is that you need to be commercially viable. And that's why I started off.
Commercially viable for whom?
Well, for Google/YouTube.
Right.
And that's why I started off this segment, though, last segment, which was to give them at least some credit. It is a business. And to sit there and upload every single person and their grandma, you know, their cat videos. I mean, someone has to pay for it. And I've always been amazed about how much money they're sinking into this for the amount of videos. So they have to pull back at some time, at some point. And of course, they're doing it now, right before
election. Yeah, but they're not doing it for the people that aren't making the money. They're doing it to the people that are making money and they're making it saying what they don't want them to say.
Well, exactly. So it's just kind of, it's like a combination. They're saying already overall, if you're not, you know, like basically that it costs too much money to do all this. If you're not commercially viable, well, then we're gonna have to let you go, right? Kind of like some business. So that at least is how they're framing this. But at the same time, they have all these regulations they've been putting in place for the last few years of what you can't say. So on one hand, they keep saying you can't say things, which therefore drives down traffic because you can't really express yourself. Then, of course, you're going to have fewer viewers in a certain level, right? Then at the same time, they're shadow banning you. So that means even if they don't completely ban you, they will sit back and say, okay, well, if you have certain content that we don't like, we're going to just put you and bury you, you know, in the searches. Then on top of that, they're now they're not allowing your feed to come up for other recommended sources. So before, let's say if you watched Tim Pool's video, then maybe all of a sudden it would recommend Mark Dice's video, let's say, or something like that. Now it will not do that. Now, a content provider, they are allowed to suggest one video link to them. So when you watch the end of a video, you notice how there's two like little screens that pop up, one in the top left and the top right. So the top left a little box for the next video, that is recommended by YouTube. So YouTube, using their algorithm, is suggesting what they think you would like to see. And then the content creator is allowed to pick the one in the top right. So that's what they're able to do. But the thing is, so YouTube now is trying to force their searches on the creators more. Also, they're as I said, they got rid of the subscriptions and they're desubscribing people. And so the only way you're going to find their site, the only way you're going to find Tim Pool or Daily Caller or anything else, is going to be if you directly search for it, or if you send it and share the video, which is why they all say now, please like and subscribe and please send it and share the video. It is very important. I share these videos with Tim, to Tim Pachote and Ernie and others. All of you should do the same. It's the only way to keep them high enough in these algorithms and therefore in order to make some money. But back to this point though, they were editing what you can say and then saying that if you're not financially, if you're not viable for them, then they'll cut you. Which also means that they're going to be pruning all of the smaller channels. So if you're already a big channel, then like Crowder, you know, Louder with Crowder, they're not going to touch him for a bunch of reasons right now. But it's all the small channels. The people don't have as much viewership. There won't be as much outrage. So they're going to go after them first. It also means that if you want to start a channel, there's almost no way you'll be able to start a channel by next year. And sites like Tim Pool's are going to be completely cut out probably by the next 2 to 3 years.
These guys are very influential. They have lots of, you know, it's like, oh God, it's hundreds of thousands of subscribers like We Are Change has, and they go out and do stuff there, but it's not going to be the size. It's going to be the size. We get rid of a lot of these little guys, and then we defund everybody that we don't like, and then they're not commercially viable, and they're gone. You know, so when they say commercially viable, I know what they mean. What they mean is commercially viable for them. This is what we experienced. You know, I guarantee what's going on is exactly what we experienced in talk radio. This is what it was. There was a, let me see if I can do this. I got to push this button. Give me a second. There we go. All right. This is how it works. We start doing radio in 2003. 9/11 is going on. Everything's post 9/11 world. We have yet to go into war in Iraq. The land invasion hadn't started until like March, April of 03. I start doing radio in mid-February of 03. When we're doing that, the reason that we were support, I just sold my pizza restaurant. I had supporters said, Ernie, man, we'll sponsor. We've got to get somebody anti-war on the radio here in the Valley. I go, all right, I'll put out some feelers. I knew some stations. They knew who I was. And I said, hey, I'm willing to do a show morning. They go, boom. One of them says, here, we got this guy, morning talk show. He just got real sick or he couldn't do it. We need somebody. Boom, come in. Got a deal. And I go, okay. So I go in, boom, the phones light up. There was nobody else saying the stuff that we were. Oh, my God, how did a libertarian get on one of the major media markets? Or nationally, we had that MP3 thing going on, and the internet moving, it just blew up. And then, damn, why? Because there wasn't any alternative. There wasn't anybody else. There was no libertarian on the radio. Sure as heck not in some major media market. So what happened? All these advertisers coming in and going, yeah, woohoo, man, we get it. And then they're gone. Because somebody would go after, nope. Don't, you know, they get the memo. They're at the country club. They're explaining no car dealerships, no real estate development, no major retailer or market or whatever. They do exactly what YouTube is now. They will dry you up. But we had supporters, subscribers, donators, whatever, just to keep me on to keep doing it for years. This is exactly what's going on here. But I saw that the internet, I was getting way more views and listening from this internet thing of archives on MP3s that we went to MP3. Oh, my God, what's that? We did that 03 before we actually had the land invasion. And then called, man, what a bunch of crap this is. Of course, there's people out there supporting this. And a lot of it was Air America on the left. They didn't know that libertarians were like didn't like entitlements and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, so Charles Goyette's show and me producing for him, and I had a show there, and we're over. We got the libertarian invasion of in the left. And that's what's kind of happening now. Again, why? Because they, them, those feed off of this humanitarian little pluck of we want to do good and kind of, and libertarians oftentimes have a lot more personally overlapping with the left than we do with the economics on the right, because the economics on the right is just how much they can shear the sheep for, okay? And oh, we sheared you, we got a monopoly on you, and we kept all the profit. So this has been going on forever, and I knew it was coming again on the internet. What are we going to do about it?
Free Talk Live.
What are we going to do about it? I'm telling you, man, I knew it. That I don't think I know. I knew exactly what was going to happen. And it's the same people.
You got it.
The same people. The same. They're just doing it a different way. And just they just built up these platforms and walked in and made it happen. So now what are you going to do?
It's interesting because the person you just played in that video, you know, he was making a comment, which I can sympathize with, but as a libertarian, you know, it's not your business. I mean, they're like, I made all these videos and they're stopping me. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're a private company.
I've been screaming this right. Well, then what do they say? They're going to go, well, they're a platform, you know, or are they a publisher? They got to be
a platform, right? That's the issue.
And I'm like, it doesn't matter. What do you think newspapers were? You know, the newspapers, they go like this. They always said, I'm going to write this. God dang it. These sons of bitches trying to make me say this. All right. I'm going to bring this up.
All right. Well, the thing is, Ernie, one of the reasons also YouTube is doing this, I believe, is they're trying. Look, I, as much as I understand the deep state and they're part of it and the media and complex and all the rest, you know, one of the things I've learned in life is that even people that we think are evil, including Anakin Skywalker and the Darth Vader, that's what George Lucas was trying to point out, that even people who do evil things often don't see what they're doing as evil. I mean, the deep state, the reason I think
you're too stupid to rule yourself, they're doing you a favor.
No, exactly. Well, in their mind, they think what they're doing is right, you know, and I'm not saying that they're right or not. It's just that's the hardest part to argue with people sometimes on the other side, because we assume that they're all sociopaths. And yes, a lot of them are the deep state at the top level anymore. They got themselves embedded, and we've talked about this through the years. But I think for most people, like, you know, the people in the media, you know, the CNN.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm just pulling up music. Okay, that's where I've started, and that'll do it, and I'll get in trouble with YouTube. That's all right. See, it's when I do this stuff is that they go, and that one's, you know, can't turn it off. And
hey, have you posted the whistleblower's name? Eric, what's his name?
Oh, a bunch of times. Way back last when we first heard it, I don't care. You know, I was talking about the first hour. I'm going, but this is a secret? What the hell?
No, I mean, you should, like, plaster on the banner ad at the very top, just saying, you know. I mean, that's like the good shopping, how was a housekeeper's seal of approval. If a website posts his name in the banner, you know it's a trusted source. That's pretty much how you can tell right now.
Yeah, but see, you know, I've seen these psyops before. They do this to get all the conspiratorial guys to go all in on this kind of stuff, and then it's not. Ha-ha! See, you guys don't know what you're doing. You know, it's just I just sit back 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Well, I can't see the president's son adding into that conspiracy.
3 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. You know, it's not that I'm a secret on this, but 3 weeks. Because I tell you, after 3 weeks, it waxes and wanes. It goes, you know, it zigs and zags. It goes through, and then you kind of find out what the hell is going on, you know? And
the famous line from Star Wars again, and I keep bringing up Star Wars. You know, it's like the tighter your fist.
Yeah,
the tighter your fist, right? The more star systems slip through your fingers. And now, you know, I've sent you that video. I listened to.
All right, well, here we're coming back.
That's DLive.LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
All you hear.
Radio Goo Goo.
Radio Gaga. Blah, 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 blah. You know, this is, I tell you, you know, we've gone through this before. This was what, in the 70s? You know, I'm it's the same. You think it's different, and it's not. It's not, 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 it's not. It's same. Just a different, you know, it's the same tune, just a different instrument or something. I mean, you know, I see where this goes. There is no way in hell, heaven and earth, are they going to allow you to have your say during this next year of the election cycle for 2020 and get anything that you might want or need or what it's going to be, whatever shoved down your throat. Get over it. Here it comes. They wrote a bunch of songs about it. Like, hey, here you go. So I want to make sure that we understand what we're up against until we decide that we have to abandon them. It doesn't matter how many people you think are subscribing. It doesn't matter how many people you think are giving you money. It doesn't matter how much the paycheck from YouTube you think is going to be. It's going to be less later, and you're going to be winnow down. You're going to comply. You're going to see how much they can get you to comply and not say Eric Sera, what's the hell his name? I don't care. You know, he could even be a plant. This could be a whole freaking psyop, a pizza gate of the kind of, there's some truth there. Then it kind of goes and they send you off and, aha, see, he said this because some conspiratorial guy said it and they all repeated it and they're fake news. We're not the fake news, they're the fake news. So this just goes on and on and on. 3 weeks. I wait 3 weeks. So when was this started? About a week ago. In another 2 weeks, we'll do Eric Sear, what's his face, you know, all over.
Ciaramella. Yeah, unfortunately, he's a fellow Paisan Italian. I feel bad. I'm ashamed.
Well, see, we don't know. I saw Ren's article, you know, because I got guys, you know, there's a lot of readers and listeners. They'll send me all kinds of stuff, and I go, okay, we'll put it up. A lot of times, I don't even care. You know, you want to see all this Israel laying waste to Palestine, the Palestinian, that comes from a couple of guys, man, they don't like them some Israel. Do I not put it up? I don't care. You know, this is what they're saying over here. The other side, we put that up. Everybody's kind of, you know, get enough Israel on there. The third rail, Israel. You're not allowed to touch that rail. You know what I mean? So I'm like, let you decide. Let you freaking decide. Does that have an impact on our traffic and stuff? Probably. But then what do I see? on different rating service. I just take a look every now and then. All of a sudden, boom, our traffic jumps up because they tweaked some algorithm thing and they didn't get it because we're so all over the place that they don't know how to regulate us. They just have to do it by anything freedomsphoenix.com does, damn it.
So, Ernie, I don't know if this is too more of a personal business question, but I know you don't have many secrets. So the question is, how has the traffic been for Freedom's Phoenix, especially with this clampdown over the last year or so? Are you finding more and more people finding Freedom's Phoenix?
It went up.
For other options?
It went up about 20-25%. Uh-huh. But it had been beaten down for years. And I just, nope. I mean, we used to get, I mean, I know we're a small site compared to a lot of them. We would be, you know, 30,000 page views a day or something like that. Then it go down to as low as, you know, 2,000. Then you got to make a decision. Exactly what happened with YouTube and all these guys. They're going, whoa, and I'm going 30,000 down to 2,000, you know, in a like months. And I just go, yep, we're over the target. So I had to make a decision. The people that support us know that we've been talking. I've been talking about this forever. I knew this was coming, you know. So when this happened, because we were peaking at, you know, from 8 to, we just started in 05, then the Levolution in 7 and 8, 9, 10. Boom, we're rocking. It's going, woohoo! And then when 4409 started getting censored and we're doing the camera, it was with the camera fraud thing. It was a surveillance video on the highways here. That's what really called camera fraud and, you know, the street pirates of the blah, 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 blah. It was amazing. You could see the infrastructure for censorship coming. And you have to make a decision. Do you start on, I don't care. That's when I stopped doing Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and Pinterest and all. Because we had a lot of traffic coming. I go, nope, I'm done. If I depend on these guys, it'll be a slow strangulation of what's happening right now to these guys. And I go, stop doing this. We need to be able to build our own base on other systems and create new systems, which is why I want my catapult channel and all that kind of stuff on these video platforms. When Brighteon, Mike Adams, the health ranger guy, said, YouTube is censoring all kinds of health information, which they are, Dr. Mercola, and there they go, look, man, we're down 90%. They just like, hell no, you're not allowed to be healthy. Big Pharma's got a pill for you, okay? So when they started doing that, I'm going, yep, here you go. I'm telling you, you know, neon flashing, I told you so. So what happens? Well, you're not doing it right. I got to go to Congress and bitch about, you know, you a publisher platform. Doesn't matter what they call themselves. And this is the note that I made to myself when we were talking. It was when we were doing activism in the 90s and dealing, you know, we had to get our government number. You got to get arrested or run for something or challenge whatever. You get a government number, you can get some an article in the newspaper. Well, what happened was we go, why aren't you reporting on this? Why aren't you? It's like all these fake news things, you know, the Smollett thing or this thing or that thing. They'll report on that or Kavanaugh or whatever, but they sure as hell won't report on the Eric thing. Oh, no, that'd be wrong because it doesn't serve their interest. When we go with exactly the same kind of thing in local news here in Arizona and you go to the editors and you go, what the hell is your guys' policy? Is it the sales thing? Is it because this developer, because this car dealer, because this Republican, you know, operative, if I get, you know, farmer, a subsidy of the whatever? And they go, no. Our sales department is totally separate from the news department. And I go, bullshit. BS. That is so much crap. You are driven by your revenue. So when they say commercially viable, they don't mean that you're making money. They don't mean that you got a lot of people that subscribing to and want to watch your stuff. They mean that the letters from upstairs, if they're going to explain it to them, you ain't going to have yourself a business if you let this guy say this stuff. You better get your algorithm in their homes and cut these guys out because hell no. And don't think I don't know. I don't think I know. I know. Oh, this is exactly what happens, in my opinion.
Well, Ernie, look, I have like, oh boy, I'm gonna get in trouble for this one. From you, you're gonna flip out. So just drink some of your smoothie and just right. Chill for a second.
All right,
so I completely agree with the. I think the outcome and how that's being played out, and we do know, of course, there's deep state players in the tech companies. And the tech companies are complicit. I mean, I'm not doubting any of that. But at the same time, it is a business. And they're run by globalists. And the globalist view is that, you know, they'll throw their own culture under the bus in order to grow their company, to grow their power. That's what businesses do unchecked. And I'm not saying whether what kind of regs we should have for globalist companies. That's a whole nother story. But as we talked on your show some time ago, we're finding one of the reasons companies are bending the knee to China and other countries is because of market share. So if you have YouTube or whatever tech giant that you have, you're trying to go international, America is kind of the problem because we have so many freedoms and we do speak our mind and say whatever, but most of the countries in the world don't allow that. So if you're trying to get your service, your search engine or whatever, a YouTube in another country, you have to bow to the lowest common denominator, which tend to be these more, you know, socialist or dictatorship company or countries. And that's one of the main reasons that which they're doing this. They can't have YouTube videos with controversial content or people with guns or people talking about, you know, whatever their views are and show it in Shanghai or show it in New Zealand or other countries. So that's kind of what's driving it. And on top of that, they see the Supreme Court problem coming up. A lot of it is Prager University versus Google. We covered that a few weeks ago. But they understand the publisher versus platform problem is a big deal, and they're trying to avoid it by getting rid of controversial content.
I tell you what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid, you know, China and the New World. Everybody is going, they're penetrating the blocks, the bureaucracy. The people are getting to them anyway. You have to totally eliminate them off the platform. Not just demonetize, not de anything. The fact that they're even there, you better get them off, or we're not going to give you money.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condensed oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
I am going to take on do some real research. We're going to start, pushing the subscription thing. We kind of got it to where it's probably 90%, and I need to do some cosmetic stuff with Derek and everything. But when I get that taken care of and kind of, you know, we start building on it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to really work on this occupancy permit or certificate of occupancy kind of thing. I am of the opinion that that's how they got us. This Agenda 21 deal doesn't work unless they can have jurisdiction over your property, how you can use it, and how that's the sustainable BS is about. And they did it with this occupancy thing that's been going on since. I can't really tell when they started because they don't. You go on like Wikipedia and they'll have a history or something like that. There's no history.
Yeah.
You know, they'll describe it, but they just don't tell you where it came from. Now, Alex Newman that we had on and Rosa Corey this last week, they were speakers at Red Pill. And what they were doing is that, you know, it's kind of John Taylor Gatto thing is like the education of the youth. We have to do this generationally to take over America and, you know, strike all this freedom crap from their brains and get them all on being livestock. And then you had the sustainability thing, the Agenda 21, 30, all that kind of crap that Rosa's going on, and they have histories. But what gave it all that power, it wouldn't matter if people would just live on their land and suck it and suck to be you. No, you got to have a permit from the crown and you occupy it at their pleasure under their conditions. So I'm going, okay, where does this occupancy permit? And it really hit me this summer, like end of June, July, and we were dealing with some stuff in New Hampshire. I go, I get it. That's the linchpin. So I start doing some research on it. There's nothing. When did it start? Doesn't say. It just, I mean, it's amazing. Usually you just, this stuff pops up or somebody's already done it. So I'm going to start doing my quantum reality thing and start taking steps towards this to understand this. And hopefully all of a sudden it'll blow up and everybody will go, woohoo, this guy over here has been saying this forever and you'll find it. But I haven't found that. And when you're talking to Freedom Force and G. Edward Griffin, Sheriff Mack, and Ammon Bundy, Ammon, here you look at World Alternative Media, Josh Sigerson interviewed him this weekend. And I got to, you know, have a long conversation with Ammon, and he's like, yeah, Ernie, you're on it. You're right. You know, this is where what we were fighting, yada, 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 yada. And he goes, I'll help. You do a place, Arizona, you got something, we'll come. They'll write an article, we'll do, we'll get some attention. I'm like, oh, you the man. You the man, because it happened in Montana just last year. They were trying to do the same thing they did to the Bundy Ranch. He wrote an article, visited up there, and all of a sudden the forest, everybody back out, said, never mind. Yep, nothing to see here. We don't want to play this again, you know? So this is how they're doing it. So I'm gonna be getting some. All right, here we go.
LRN.FM.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Okay, I just randomly play some Josh Sigerson, World Alternative Media, interviewing Ammon Bundy. I'm just, you know, right in the middle of, here we
go. It's got a bad name in my world, you know, because of what it's been used for. But there's always been a need for the good to unite, because there always seems to be the wicked and the bad uniting. And if they unite more powerful than the good, then they overtake the good. Right. They get above you, right? That's a fact. I don't know why this world is that way. I don't know, you know, what the natural laws that allow that to happen, but it is a fact, right? So there is a need for the good to get together and stand and prepare and defend and use violence if necessary to defend their rights and to defend against the wicked that would try to, again,
gay be wicked. I mean, I just randomly put, he's talking. I mean, how far off are we here? This is, it's going to get to the point that we have to, you know, resist. You don't got to resist with guns and stuff, but sometimes you might, you know. So Ammon, you know, did a couple of years in prison on this very thing, and what happened? They were outing what the government was doing, and they declared a mistrial, or just said dismissed, of, we can't get away with this anymore, and, you know, peace out, and, you know, go home. And then you had a jury in Oregon, they just went, not guilty. So this is, you know, and he's not pulling back. And the one thing I noticed about Ammon, we've met and, you know, done 5 hours of shows and stuff before, and we'll be doing some more here directly. We just did some this last week, and he's gotten younger. I looked at him, man, I go, man, you're looking good, man. Prison life, is it a prison diet thing? What is that, you know? And it's faith. It's just knowing you're right and just praying. And I've had other experiences of people of faith that went to jail, come out a decade later, they haven't aged a day. You know, it's amazing what faith and peace of mind and knowing you're right does. And they are willing. They're Daniel in the lion's den. They know what they're up against, and they're taking it on. And wicked people don't know how to deal with these guys. And shooting them like LaVoy Finicum just makes them martyrs. So it's something's coming, man. And it's going to be this year. And this civil war they keep talking about, it's not going to be the civil type war that they hope for or think. It's just going to be people sitting. Sometimes when you got to stand up for something, sometimes you just got to sit down and not move. Nope, I'm just right. I'm here. I'm not. I'm good. Lawn chair, bite me.
I agree. You're right. I mean, the Civil War is really the information culture war, and it's being fought on the digital platform in cyberspace. And it's just like what InfoWars talks about. It's the battle for your mind, and that's exactly prescient. That's pretty much what we're going to have. I think the censorship issue is finally bleeding into other areas. And I was talking on the break about, you know, the Star Wars quote of that, the more Darth Vader, you know, closes
the tighter
grip,
your fist, the more star systems leap between your fingers.
The more star systems will slip through your fingers. And it's such a great line. And I've talked, we've talked on this show quite a bit about pop culture and Star Wars and things I'm not going to get into right now. But one of the reasons I've always brought it up is that I've watched these channels that were dedicated to just geek stuff, Star Trek or sports or Star Wars or whatever. And they keep getting forced into the discussion of identity politics. And many of these shows have become pseudo-political shows. I mean, they're talking about national politics, and yet they started off as Star Wars shows. And this is what they force people to do. Then you have Tim Pool, which we've talked on the show. I have a lot of respect for him. He's a moderate Democrat, although people keep saying that he should just swallow the red pill already and get it over with. But the thing is, the guy's a moderate Democrat, and he's seeing the censorship. He knows his own show is pretty much done by the next year or so. He just got banned off of Facebook, 24-hour ban, because he posted the name of the whistleblower, even though it's already been documented in other sources. I mean, he's watching this happen, and he himself is getting pushed further to the right, right? Then we even have Elizabeth Warren, God forbid, who's, of all people, who's talking about the censorship backfiring on her, because it turns out the YouTube censorship not only is censoring conservatives, but you may have heard, you know, it's banning discussion about the Green New Deal, about some of the global warming climate change issues. That's being banned. And she's sitting back thinking,
yeah,
how did that happen?
As we freeze our butt off this winter, it's going to get bad.
So the thing is, it's affecting Democrat liberals in a way that they didn't see, which, you know, no surprise. I mean, the old saying, if you don't defend your neighbor, then they'll come after you, right? And that's what's finally happening. But when you have Democrats, oh, the other thing, I told Ernie last week, one of the doctors in my office, she's a diehard Democrat, and she does fundraising for local Democrat candidates and the like, and she sent an internal email to the doctors, which we don't normally chit-chat, you know, outside of, it's just medicine, but she sent this alarming email to all the doctors letting us know that she found out, now sit down for this, guys, that Google is censoring information regarding medicine, that if you put down, I know, stop the presses. I mean, I know. But the fact that you have a Democrat lifelong who thinks all this is conspiratorial, sitting there sending an alarming email to doctors like, oh, my God. And this was just a few weeks ago. She finally figured that out. And then yesterday, of course, you heard then the other news drop about Google sitting there and saving all of your medical information, even though that Google sits back and says, well, it's in the terms of service and you agree to it in the 25th paragraph or something. So the average American is realizing this is not about simply Donald Trump tweets and supposedly fake news from the right. This is affecting everyone. And I think aside from the deep state, you have progressives on the left who are younger people who really respect and understand the internet. They grew up with the freedoms of the internet more than older people who didn't really know how to even use it. So the young people, progressives, they're starting to see the danger of this. And, of course, conservatives, I mean, we've been playing with this for a long time. And libertarians, we've always been on the outside. So now all you have left is what? The deep state trying to hold on to the censorship issue. And then lastly, one last just cherry on top of this, which just makes the point, is, and not to talk movies too much, but the movie Joker, which, by the way, I just saw again just a couple of days ago, just to help it go over $1 billion. This movie, Joker, just is about to make $1 billion. It is already the most profitable superhero movie of all time.
Really?
It might be, it beat Avengers as far as the most profitable. It only cost like $50 million to make, and it's about to make $1 billion. And here's the kicker, though, because it's not about movies today. It's rated R, which is the cardinal sin. If you want to make money, you're supposed to make a watered-down PG-13 movie. So it's rated R. And it deals with a white protagonist, if you call him a protagonist, but it deals with characters that are not SJW, no identity politics in this whole thing. And on top of that, and I can't stress this enough, it was banned in China, and they knew it'd be banned in China. They designed this movie for American audiences. If anyone else liked it, fine. But they were not going to cowtail and tailor it to a world globalist market. And by not doing that, it just shoved you-know-what up the you-know-what of the establishment in Hollywood that keeps watering down our movies, just like Google and YouTube is trying to water down what's through censorship. They've been watering down our content to make it more pliable or digestible to dictatorships around the world, and Joker just shoved it up their you-know-what. And we're talking production companies that are losing money left and right.
I thought it was an important movie, and, you know, watching it, it's not a date movie. Definitely right. Not that. It's not an action movie. It's a thinking movie. It's a what the hell setting up for the next Batman movie is what it is. But I didn't see it the same way as you. I know it can be seen. You know, it's one of those that depends on your opinion. My thing was that I'm going, yeah, It seems to me that the message in this whole thing was, if you don't have compassion for those that are the mentally ill and the homeless, and you don't have programs that deal with this, or you take them into account, the Whitey's going to die. I mean, you know, or the powerful men in charge, or the Donald Trumps. You know, there was like a Donald Trump character in here. And so it wasn't that I thought it was inaccurate. It kind of condensed it into this one person's life, and it seemed real. I mean, this stuff happens. And you keep doing this kind of stuff in this atmosphere, this is going to be the result. But what I'm thinking is, what scared the left on this thing is that the reasons and the out-of-control nature, and it's not going to be lassoed or put in employ of whatever the hell it is that they want, it's going to burn the whole system down. It is a systemic thing, and that's what I think scared the left about this. Is they
absolutely.
Want,
but the thing is, the movie succeeded when the left did everything to stop it, quell it, say that incels are going to be there, and they had the military police out for some of the viewings. I mean, this movie has changed it, has changed Hollywood, and forced them to show that go woke, go broke. And then you add the censorship issue on top of it. My point is that liberals, moderate Democrats, they're all starting to wake up to this. So yeah. I think censorship is going to be a big issue this next election.
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, that it's going to be split in Washington between Schiff and Pelosi. She's going to be the one that's going to be kind of throwing him under the bus just for them to be viable. You know, there's going to be some moderate Democrat and thing breaking away from this hardcore AOC kind of crap, you know, and then what? I have no idea. We're going to find out and talk about it. From the Freedom
Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with AgristHosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to AgristHosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's AgristHosting.com.
All experts agreed this week that the dying U.S. economy is no reason at all to stop investing in print media. Calling the newspaper and magazine industry a veritable cash cow with massive potential for growth, top experts everywhere said that aggressive investment in print media will pay off in spades, and that newsprint is in no way threatened by internet news sites or online video content. Besides, everyone in the know agreed, loyal readers of newspapers would never, ever in a million years turn their back on the trusted print media industry that has always been there for them in good times and bad.
This is the Onion News Network.
It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. Cardiologists announced today that test subjects who took a single aspirin tablet followed by a fifth of bonded Kentucky bourbon were 85% less likely to realize they were having a heart attack. Potential side effects for the new treatment include slurred speech, impaired vision, and vomiting. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.